Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. We are Traders Canada, a queer Traders Canada superfan podcast. Drop the queer this week. My name's Sam Stanish. We are here today with an amazing, rarely do the reality contestants beg to come on to our podcast. Usually I'm sending DM after DM, years after years after years to a no reply, but something special is in the works today. But first off, my co-hosts are also here, Derek Grinding and Christine Palin.
Hello.
Welcome. Okay. Oh, sorry.
I was just gonna say I forgot my cloak.
Do you promise to lie your way through this podcast?
I feel like Jeff should do that before Survivor seasons. Like every single contestant, like we meet on this beach and we're going to, do you promise to, I don't know, what does Jeff want us to do? Find clues to things? Yes.
Instead of dipping your torch and getting fire, you should swear the Survivor oaths.
Yes.
But we're here with an exit interview for a show we're not covering. But we were asked to do, and you know, any request that comes from this incredible human being, we honor and serve. We'll swear oaths to her. And it is the incredible winner of Survivor 41 and the incredible first boot of Traders Canada, Erica Supanen.
Hello. Yes, I was on my hands and knees. I'm like, I cannot do a reality show without speaking to the bitter jurors. So thank you for humoring me and just totally ruining your editorial calendar by having this episode that has nothing to do with anything else you cover.
We're thrilled.
I mean, it's like, it involves you and it involves Miss Fierce Delicious. So it does have a lot to do with us, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The Venn diagram of all of your interests.
Yes, our two interests were on one show for an episode and a half. Well, not even really.
Well, they did keep talking about me after I was murdered, and there was a flashback to me getting murdered. So I think I got two episodes.
That's what I'm saying.
I think so too. You're truly the star.
Your IMDb will only reflect two, not, you know, one and 15 minutes. It's going to say two episodes.
All that matters. Yeah. Put that on the Traders Wiki.
I'm sure it's there.
Yeah. Erica was in two episodes of the Traders Canada.
Yeah, that's like No, go ahead.
Oh, and I was in the previously on for the third episode where they showed me getting murdered and then they showed the other guests laughing about me being murdered. So I'd say that's a solid three.
True.
That feels like a three, and they'll have to, I forget, in the other Traders versions, do they do Fallen Comrades in some form? We don't know.
No, but I'm still in the social media content. I was one of the Traders-related Halloween costumes that they suggested, so I'm glad that I look like a meme still.
The hair is looking amazing. The purple is purpling today.
Thanks!
Maybe it's the background, but it's so, like, saturated. I love it.
Thank you. I added some green. I don't know if you can see it with the light, but there's some green in there too. I decided to lean into spooky season and choose a color that's going to last far beyond spooky season. So
your Joker era.
Yeah. Oh my god. This murder, this was my villain origin story, I think.
I think so. It would be my villain origin story if I was like, I'm coming onto the show. I'm like 90% of the reason why people are going to be watching the show probably. And they want to kill me first. Like, what up with that?
Yeah, I was joking afterwards because I had a watch party with Miss Fierce Delicious when I got eliminated. And I was like, you know what? I wasn't on the show long enough to sustain psychological trauma. And I got to be on all of the billboards. So I think I'm actually the winner. But maybe I should enter Joker era anyways, though.
You mentioned Fierce Delicious. You've met Isis on the night you won Survivor, yes! I believe. Do you have other Drag Race queens that you want to meet?
Oh my god, who do I want to meet? It's just so weird because Toronto is so small, and now since I hang around with Miss Fierce Delicious, I just like randomly keep running into so many people. I remember on season two, I loved Pythia, and then like ran into her with Fierce, and it's like Fierce lives with Suki Doll from season two, so I like see Suki Doll all the time. So who do I really want to meet, at least from the Canadian version?
You're like, well, I've met them all, so it doesn't even matter. Like,
no, well, I haven't met Giselle. I haven't met Giselle yet, because I've met Priyanka, I've met Isis, but I haven't met the Giselle from season 3. So I feel like I should meet all of the winners at some point.
It feels correct.
Winners meet up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Only winners.
That makes sense. I mean, it sounds like the Traitors, like you said, you were on all the billboards, but you went home for... It's like the inverse of your Survivor journey. You were not in the show, yeah. But you won.
I know. And also, people were so mad that I got voted out, that I got murdered early. And I'm like, oh, I've had the full breadth of life experiences where I experienced people being mad that I won and then being mad that I lost.
We're so fickle like that, you know?
I know. I was like, oh, this is what it's like being a fallen angel rather than an undeserving winner. Cool.
You have to be
Leading into that, we talked a bit like off, we were like getting into it off pod and we're like, okay, we'll save it. I mean, in the Traitors, you talk about you didn't think you were going to do a reality show again, at least not so soon. Can you talk about that decision kind of coming off of 41 and you won, but you know, you like it wasn't the best representation of you perhaps and people weren't happy with it. What brought you to like do the Traitors Canada again? Like, was there a lot of hesitation? What was that journey like for you?
Yeah, so rewind to when the US version came out, because I didn't watch it when it first came out. But my agent loves reality TV. And she was like, when she watched it, she had said, I know that you don't want to do more reality TV. I had got calls for other reality shows. I always turned them down. But she said, oh, if you ever get called to do The Traitors, I really think you should consider it, because I think everyone looks good. I think you'll look good. You can dress up the way you want. I think it's a good game for you. So just think about it. I'm like, okay, whatever. Move on with my life. And then I had just moved, or I was getting ready to move. So things were at peak stress levels. And my agent calls me and she's like, so there's a Canadian version of Traitors and they want you to film it in less than a month. I'm like, what the? I was like, what? And then she was like, she's like, I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do, but just watch the show and see. I'm like, okay. So I watched it. I visited my parents. I watched it. They were obsessed with it. They were like, you need to be on the show. You can be like Ceri. I'm like, I don't know. Then I had many calls with like the network where they were very supportive of whatever decision I made, but they were like, but if you make the decision to do the show, we'd be thrilled to have you. And then so basically it just like I had all of the signals that I could do the show if I wanted it. I had the contract for a long time. I think I finally signed the contract the week I left for filming, because I was like, I don't know if I want to do this again. Wow. But really what it came down to, it was Survivor was like such a long process. I think that people underestimate how long it is. Whenever people ask me about it, they think they're just asking about the 26 days of filming. But for me, Survivor started in 2019 when I got my first call from casting, and I feel like it still is going on, and it was like long and high stakes, and it was the childhood dream, and there's so many emotions. And I was like, oh, I just want to show myself that I can do a reality show and have it be low stakes and fun. And I have a group of friends who I play Mafia with often, and in fact we had to stop playing Mafia because we could start to immediately tell when everybody was lying, so the game would be over in one round. But I was like, this is just a game that I play with my friends, who cares? I have the time to do it this summer, even though it wasn't ideal because literally I had no furniture and everything was in boxes in my new place. But I was like, let me just go and have fun. So that was my mindset going into it. Obviously I was like, I want to win, and I know how to play a game like this, and I know how to win. But then I think because of that, I just had so much fun, even in my short time there.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, I feel like you can kind of see that in the episode. You're just like chilling with the other reality TV girlies and like, yeah, let's just do whatever. It's like, I don't know. I don't think you should feel bad, and I'm sure you don't. But like, there's literally like, what could you have possibly done other than have been picked as a traitor? Like, that's literally the only thing that could have changed this, which, you know, would have been incredible. And they should have done that, because what the hell? They robbed us. But, you know, it is what it is, I think. They were just too scared. A pretty girl walked in the room and they said, ooh, let's hate her.
They were worried that someone was going to make that cloak look incredible.
Yes.
I know. They saw the headband and they were like, oh, we can't do this. This is too much to slay for Canadian TV.
Erica, did you want to be a traitor?
I honestly went back and forth so much. Even when when I was talking to production before I did the show, because I know I would kill it as a traitor. I'd be such a good traitor, but I was highly aware of coming in as a Survivor winner, and especially having been a Survivor winner who flew under the radar, where I'm like, ooh, if nobody knew who I was, I think I would be an amazing traitor and I would win. And also, I think if nobody knew who I was, I think I could win as a faithful. but I was hyper aware of how I was perceived. And then once I walked in and once I saw the makeup of the cast, and when I went into the manor, so the contestants actually drive themselves into the manor and drive themselves into the missions. I haven't driven in many years, so I didn't volunteer for that position. But I remember sitting in the car and Donna, who's the psychic medium, was beside me. And she was like, I've been trying to play it cool, but I can't believe I'm sitting beside you. You were the person who inspired me to finally apply for a reality show. And I can't believe I'm here with you. And I was like, that's amazing. And that's so flattering. And I thought that was so cool. But in a game where it matters what people think of you, I was like, oh no, like this is not good. I'm not in a good position. So when we have this thing called the silver talk with Corrine, where she asks you what you want to be, like that talk was so stressful because I kept going back and forth and back and forth. And I was like, I think I stick out too much to be a traitor. I was like, I think that it's like among all of the players on the field, because there were half reality stars, but there was only three of us who played a strategy game. And I was like the highest profile one, having won an American show. And it's a weird thing in Canada. You do American TV and you're in Canada. So I was like, oh, I want to be a traitor. But I think in this field of people, if I'm a traitor, like I'm not here for a long time. So I think I have to take the uphill battle and play as a faithful. But then it turned out either route, I wasn't going to be there for a long time. So.
Oh, so sad. And it's like, I feel like you maybe would fit in more on an alleged future US version of the show.
Yes. With
an alleged cast of all reality TV people.
The rumors. Yeah,
I think they just announced the cast. It's so bizarre. I've never seen a reality show do this, but like while they were filming, they like released the cast, probably because everybody already knew the cast, but there has been an official press release.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like a killer cast. That's the thing. I think if I was on a cast like that, I probably could have been able to like sneak through a bit more. But then I think, and the thing is, it's like, I love the cast of Traitors Canada. Everybody is awesome. I think there's going to be a lot of mess to come, but I think it just, yeah. If it was just Erica who did not come in as a Survivor winner and I was on that cast, I think I could have gone really far.
I see. Yeah, they should have got Marianne. She's a Canadian Survivor winner too.
And Kevin.
Kevin, I know. And that's the thing, I think it's like their read was correct in terms of, in terms of the four people they were considering, so me, May, Kevin, Miss Fear, Salicious, even though I don't know, I personally wouldn't have picked that four as the four contenders if I was a traitor, but again, I wasn't a traitor, so it's fine. But I think of the four, they were correct in knowing that I wasn't going to get myself banished out of the four of them, so it makes sense to go for me.
Agreed.
For sure.
So I'm
curious about like how you feel like Survivor actually translates to the traitors. We of course saw Suri do really well. Suri is a legend. We're all wondering how this upcoming season of the US Traitors with more Survivor players is going to go. From your experience, how do you feel like that experience translated to being thrown into this mansion in Quebec and playing this different game?
I felt like I was so chill because even on the first night, I remember people were like, well, when we're ready to go to bed for the first night, people are already starting to get stressed out. When the traitors were first picked and we can go out into the manor and start talking, everybody's already stressed out. And I'm like, guys, like, this is chill. Like, trust me, you have no idea what it's like when you get down the line. So I think that it gave me a higher capacity for being in like messed up situations. So I think that was helpful. And it's also, it's like you have a better read on the way that people operate. So in my short time on the traitors, I was not looking for traitors on the first day. I was like, who are the faithfuls, which was more of my thing, where I'm like, okay, how can I pick out the people who are for sure faithfuls? And it's like, yeah, it's like somehow on Survivor, it's like you come to learn whether, I don't know, you just come to learn, it's like how people see themselves within the group, whether or not you think that they're lying, whether or not the stress that they are portraying is real or fake. And I'm like, oh, okay. I felt like I became pretty good at least picking out the faithfuls on the first day. And then I think the other thing is you get good at spotting people who understand the game. And the way that I like to put it is there's a difference between understanding the rules and understanding the actual game. And after having played Survivor, you can pick out the people who understand the actual game.
Mm-hmm. That's very, I don't know if you're familiar with The Genius or Devil's Plan.
Yeah!
But those, I feel like you can tell in those when they're like all like reacting to the rules, and you can tell, I'm like, I would be the person who's like, oh my gosh, and be like, what the hell does that mean? Yeah. I'll just wait till the guy who went to an Ivy League school tells me what I should be doing.
I love Devil's Plan because there's a K-pop idol who I love who's on it, so course, I watched it. Yeah. And when they explained the rules, sweet. I was like, oh, I love Sung Kwan, yeah. But when they explained the rules, I was like, don't understand these games. Like, some of them, like, I get them after watching them. I'm like, don't understand, doesn't matter. Because I think for me, I'd be like, like you, Derek, I would be like, okay, I'll let this man explain what it is, but then I'll figure out how to maneuver, even though I don't really care about the rules.
That sounds...
The explainers are so long. The explainers are like half the episode. Yeah,
I know.
They're kind of my favorite part. I love seeing them be like, oh my gosh. I don't know why that tickles me so much, but it does. I guess you already talked through the casting process. When you were doing the silver talks, I think is what you called them, were you all like on set, or was this like they just like brought you in? Like, what was the filming process like, I guess, in those early days?
Ooh, I mean, I was only there for a little bit, so I don't think I got to see the full thing. But yeah, it was pretty much as you see it on TV. It's like we show up at the manor, we do confessionals, we go do the silver talks, we do the mission, we hang out, we hang out in the manor together. So it's like pretty much as one sees it. I found it to be so different from being on Survivor, though, because it would be like, if I wanted to eat something, like production would be like, okay, here, you can have a snack, and they'd have like a box of snacks.
Whoa.
Or there was like a bar there, and we're like, is there actually alcohol here? They're like, yeah, you can all have a drink. I'm like, wait, what? So it was so different there, and I really took advantage of being on a reality show where stuff was provided for us, and we were allowed to be adults, and we were allowed to drink. So I think that every second you have seen me on that screen, I've been hungover.
That's like, I'm watching House of Villains also, and they all have their phones. They're like filming cameos and updating their Twitter and stuff. That would change the game of Survivor, I think. Oh, mm-hmm. We were able to film cameos while playing Survivor.
Mm-hmm. And even being in the cars with each other, I was like, oh wow, it's truly just us driving ourselves to the show. And it's like, oh, we could talk about whatever we wanted, but then I remember at one point we heard just like the voice of producers. They're like, hey, can you guys like talk about the actual game? I'm like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, I guess I had never experienced one being able to talk freely while in transport to a challenge. And then two, I'm like, oh, they're actually listening, and they're like, you have to talk about the game now.
Erica, did they tell you who the traitors were after you were killed?
Yeah, they gave me, so after I was murdered, they give you an envelope. So there's a video of it somewhere on social media where they give you an envelope and they show you who they are, which I was not expecting to see. I thought I was going to have to wait until somebody got off the show and told me, or until I watched it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that's not like on the show. Like, I feel like I feel like that's, I want to see them be like, oh my God, they're the people who killed me.
Yeah. I know. I saw it. I was like, what the hell? Because I think I had made my list of my one night of, here are the people who I think are for sure faithfuls. Here are the people who are potentially traitors but need more information. So everybody, all my lists were correct. I think it was just like choosing the people who in that video who I guess were the traitors. I just didn't choose the right like three, but I was like, oh, everyone was on the long list. I think that at that moment when I shot that video, I was like so obsessed with Trevon in my head because I'm like so sad they didn't show this, but it's like within the first day I was like, oh my God, Trevon's lying about his job. Because he worked in PR and I had worked in PR for 10 years. So when I met him, I was like, okay, this is just another PR guy because I like, you know how you can just identify the people who are in the same industry as you. So I was like, okay, he's another PR guy. And then I asked him what he did and I was fully expecting him to say he worked in marketing or PR. And he was like, oh, I'm a server. And I'm like, oh, this is not right. So I asked him like many questions about serving and I'm like, story doesn't add up. So I remember going to bed that night and I had my game plan for what I was going to do for the next day. So I was like, can't control whether or not I get murdered. So I have to just like put together my to-do list for the next day. And I remember I'm like, okay, one of my to-do items, I have to tell Kevin because Kevin and I were in an alliance and I trusted that Kevin was a faithful. And Kevin also has a short lead time between thought and action. I was like, okay, I'm going to tell Kevin that Trevon is lying about his job and then just like let that go. And then I'm going to tell Miss Fierce Delicious this and then this and this, but unfortunately didn't get the chance.
Oh, I know. We need like a ghost. I'm sure if the Traitors goes on for like 20 years, we'll get like a ghost twist. Like you can just kind of like haunt the halls and say like one thing to someone. Yeah, I guess that answers. I was always curious. Like, I wonder if they don't tell them who the Traitors were because like maybe they want to leave the door open to bring contestants back into the game. That sheds a lot of light on that. I kind of like that more that you just get to know because it's fun.
I know, it was satisfying. At the same time, in the UK version, how they eliminated those two people right on the first episode and they ended up coming back in the church challenge. Yeah. I was like, oh, now that I know the traitor, so am I not coming back? Okay.
Yeah,
I know. Okay, I'll get on the flight home.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I mean, so did you go home right away then? They didn't hold you?
No pre-jury trip.
No pre-jury trip around the same height. No, yeah, they like drove me right to the Montreal airport. They're like, see ya. And I remember I got my phone back and I sent my family a photo of me at the airport and they're like, what the fuck happened?
Oh no, that's so sad.
I know.
Yeah, so what was the I mean, obviously you can't reveal like I don't know, like what you started to learn.
Who
like,
won, Erica?
Yeah,
that's the one. Okay, well, so the winner is.
I guess I'm just curious, like in general, were you like kept in the loop at all by production afterwards, or you were just like fully like out? Like there was
no, I'm just like out. Yeah.
Damn. Like they weren't even like, hey, yeah, like how's it going? They're just like, bye.
Well, they like checked in at some point, like to thank me for being on the show.
Oh.
And obviously they check in with you leading up to the show, but otherwise I was like, free to my own devices. Actually, I did speak to a psychologist at one point for production.
That's good.
So I'm like, yes. I was okay. Even this is the thing. I got murdered first and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I did a harder show. Got this. And then I started talking to the psychologist and I started like bawling my eyes out. I'm like, I'm not mad at anyone. I don't know why I'm crying. And then it gets, and I was the one who I think got impacted the least from being on the show. So I think it's, that psychologist was probably has probably seen a lot of shit now that the season has finished filming.
Yeah, they should get a psychologist for the psychologist, I feel like.
Yes. Oh, I know. These are like weird Yoda superhuman psychologists who can deal with all of us reality TV people.
Man. So I guess like outside of the show stuff, did you have to shoot anything for promos? Like, were you in the, I saw you a lot in a robe. I saw Fierce in a robe a lot. Were you actually in robes?
Yeah. They would make us wear the robes. And I was like, oh, is this a sign? They would like pull me aside. They'd be like, Erica, try on this robe. And I was like, is this a sign? They were like, no, everyone has to do this.
I love that.
Here's me having already been on a reality show. Cause you start to, after you film a reality show in hindsight, you realize, oh, here are things that production was doing. So I went into this one. I'm like, oh, I think I'm like so good. I'm like, oh, I know what this means. Wink. And they're like, no, this is just something that everybody is doing.
You talk about other reality shows. You said that others have called, but you say no. I'm just wondering what alternate universes are out there, what other reality shows have called, and are there any reality shows you would still consider doing?
So, okay, so people, like, get surprised by this one, but I've been called by the Challenge USA a couple times.
Hell yeah.
Wow. I'm just like, I know that's not my game. I love watching the Challenge, but I just know that's not my game. I think the Challenge is at its best when people are, like, super high, what is the word I want to say? The Challenge is at its best when people are very chaotic and very confrontational, and I know that that's just not me. So I'm like, this is just not my show. I'm not interested in doing a hall brawl with Tori Deal. Like, I'm good not doing the Challenge. What else do I get? I get called for, like, Family Feud Canada every month, basically. And my family is, like, is much more reserved. So it just, I just don't think that's, like, the show that we should be doing. I feel like that's it for, like, reality shows. I don't know. So I don't know what reality show I would do. I get asked, not by production, but it's just people ask me all the time if I do Big Brother Canada. Not interested in doing Big Brother Canada. But
that hurts me.
Oh, no. I think it's just too slow. It's like, I'm friends with Mitch, who was on, mm-hmm. I don't know, like, season 5 or something. And he was like, it's shocking how slow it is when you're in there. Like, there's moments where it moves really fast, but he's like, it's really, really slow. So I think that I wouldn't enjoy just sitting there. I know there's no more live feeds on the Canadian version, but I don't think I'd want to be on the live feeds. So I don't know. I came off of Survivor and I was like, I'm not going to do another reality show. But at that time, the Traitors didn't exist. And then I obviously said yes to doing that one. So maybe if there's some new format that pops up, I would give that a try. Oh, actually, I would do like a cooking show for people who don't know how to cook, or like a baking show for people who don't know how to bake. Just something that really doesn't matter.
Well, now I think they changed up the format of Nailed It, or they have a Nailed It spinoff where it is, like, more of a, like, a season-long competition show. So that could be,
really?
Yeah, they called it something like the X challenge. I forget what the baking challenge is, something weird, but they, like, reformatted it into not just, like, three, like, one-offs each time. Didn't watch it at all. Don't know if it's good, but that's an option.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's perfect, because then I'm like, okay, I'll go from Survivor winner to Traitors First Murder, and then do, like, a baking show where I'm terrible. So I'm like, oh, I would just let my skills deteriorate in front of the public with every show I say yes to.
You're playing the long con for Winners at War, too.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This is your Tony Game Changers era. You are, you know, flopping in public to hide your true slay.
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay, that's actually really smart. I mean, people have asked me, they're like, would you come back for Winners at War? I'm like, well, they filmed Winners at War right before my season, so it's gonna be another, like, 20 years before they do another Winners at War. I don't know if 52-year-old Erica is gonna be out there, but who knows?
You would be amazing.
Yes.
You would be mother.
Yeah.
Oh my god, like the Tina Wesson of what Tina Wesson could have been,
right,
and should have been on Winners at War.
That's what I'm saying.
I think between now and then, just keep flopping on different reality shows.
Yes.
That's what Tony did.
My long con.
I mean, if they do, like, a Devil's Plan US or something, I think, like, we already discussed your strategy, so there, you already know what you need to do when that happens.
Yeah, just put on the earmuffs as soon as they start explaining the games.
Exactly.
I don't know. I would love to do. I know that this is not a thing that I would end up doing, but it's like something like a Dancing with the Stars where I cannot dance. But I'm like, oh, that'd be fun to just try it and just challenge myself.
I could, or even I a lot of the stars on Dancing with the Stars can't dance, so I think you'd be fine.
Yeah, and what's that, like, military show that people are doing now? Special Forces. So, like, oh, we're not actually fighting each other, it's just us versus ourselves, right? So long as there's not, like, real inter-reality TV combat, I'm like, I would do that and just, like, see what happens.
I would
Mission
do the
to Mars.
Oh.
How about the...
some reality show where... reality celebrities, like, trained to fly to Mars or something.
Oh, Tinashe was on that, right? Celebrities on Mars.
I could do that. Why not? There's this show in Canada called Battle of the Blades. So it's like, actually, no, I can't do that, because I think it's like they take professional hockey players and professional figure skaters and then pair them, and then they have to learn figure skating. But I have neither, so I
you
actually
do that.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if they just threw you in.
I feel like you're bullshitting me. You just made that up.
Like, oh, it's real. Christine, confirm.
I believe it. I've definitely heard the name.
You're like, what's the most Canadian thing I can think of to confuse these Americans? Yeah, we were playing this hockey on TV.
Well, you referenced Winners at War 2, but if there's a new era All-Stars and they did call you, would you consider it, or is that an immediate no?
It would depend on where I'm at in my life, but right now and for the foreseeable future, it's a no.
Ooh. Fair.
Yeah, fair.
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything I want from that experience. I feel like I got it all. I guess screen time, but that's out of my control. I can't do anything about that.
I know. I mean, it's the best you could hope for is if you could have a Michelle on Winners at War moment, but then it's she didn't win. So it's is that worth it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm only playing to win, as you can see by my Traitors performance. So.
Yes.
Hey, you can lose even if you're playing to win.
Yeah, but I'm like, hey, I lost, but I was high visibility, so I think I still won.
You were the first confessional. So. Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay. Wait, Erica, where did you get that headband?
Oh my god. So also very Canadian. I got it from a Canadian department store called Simon's.
Okay. Was it Winners? I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I had the blue pearl headband. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna signal to the audience that I'm evolved and now the headband is only pearls. And then after that, I was like, I'll wear the headband only on the first day as the bridge from Survivor. And then after that, no headband. But then it turned out as soon as I took the headband off, I got murdered. So I've learned my
symbolism.
Lesson.
That was the immunity idol.
Yeah.
The immunity headband.
Yeah.
So, Erica, we talked a lot about the hypotheticals of the future that you wouldn't want to do, but what's coming up for you? What are you working on? What are you excited about in your life? Just tell us.
Yeah, I mean, my life is good. Lots have changed, but all in a very good way. And then my main project right now is I'm working on my podcast. It's called Happy to See Me. It's on its second season, and I signed with a podcast network recently. So it's like an interview show where I have inspirational pep talks with people who have been overlooked and underestimated. So that's available wherever you get your podcasts. And then I'm still working as a keynote speaker. I still host and do the occasional TV contract or event hosting. And then I'm just working on other creative projects. I'm writing some stuff that I'm really excited about. So hopefully that will make its way to the light at some point.
Erica, thank you so much for putting this together and getting our asses in line to do this interview.
the public call out.
Yes.
Oh my God. No, thank you for having me. I always have a blast talking to you all. And yeah, if I do another one, I will be out there tweeting, begging you to let me on again.
I know, Sam said, we're so used to being the ones who come to people. So yes, this was so nice. It's always fun talking to you. I'm sorry I forgot to wear my official Erica sweater. She's hanging up proudly in my closet right now. I should have pulled her out for the occasion. Aww.
It's okay, it's Halloween. You're in costume as a non-Erica truther.
Yes, I'm as a normie loser who doesn't get it. That's my vibe.
Well, speaking of begging other people, if you're listening to this now, tomorrow we will be talking to Omer from Survivor 42 about the most recent episode of Survivor. And I think that's it. I feel like we can plug other stuff on that episode of the podcast.
Probably. Yeah.
Right. Follow us at Editor's Pod everywhere. That's normal stuff.
You know the drill. If you're here, you're in the weeds of the Editor's
Pod.
Yes. You got us. Yes. Thank you so much, Erica. Is there anything you already did plugs and stuff? Anything else? A final goodbye to Traitors. I don't know. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, no, you know what? Traitors was fun. I honestly had a blast. No regrets. I laugh at getting eliminated first. So I honestly had a blast. I think everyone who is watching, I know that I saw a lot of people saying that they're going to boycott the show now that I'm off of it, but I can't spoil it, but I think it's still going to be worth watching. I know what's going to happen, and I really think it's still worth watching, so everyone continue to check it out. And honestly, thank you all so much for having me. I feel like I say this every time, like, you're one of my favorites to talk to. So thank you for always, like, making room for me to come. And yeah, can't wait till we can connect again.
Yes, you're one of our favorites always. I feel like every time I'm like, yeah, I have a Survivor podcast, and then I'm like, yeah, we talk to Erica, everyone's like gagged. So you're the headliner.
Thank you.
Well, you're so elusive.
It's, yeah.
I know. I went to my first Survivor party in the US for the premiere of Survivor 45. I didn't watch a moment of the show because I was just talking the whole time. But I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm like the rare Pokemon card. I'm like the one that's hard to lock down.
That would,
unless that's, you're the bitter jurors, and I'm begging you to have me.
I feel like, but I had that thought recently. I was like, if I'm ever on Survivor, I would be the worst alum ever. I would like never want to go anywhere for anything. Yeah. It's like, is it going to be in Chicago? No, then I'm probably not going. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people, and I think this is like a nice thing with so many of the fans I met. They're like, oh my gosh, you're so different in person. After meeting you, we understand why you won. And I was like, I guess I am elusive. So I'm like, I actually am social, and I like socialize all the time with people in Toronto and my friends. But I think I'm always just like, I'm just like living my life. And I don't realize that it makes me look like, I don't know what it makes me look like. It makes me become like the Mewtwo of the Pokemon universe.
I think it
but I'm cool, I promise.
I mean, it just makes you sound like a normal person.
Thank
you.
Well adjusted.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. You're
just very normal, which is, yeah, very good. I think bygone are the years, I feel like, of Survivor players like doing world tours and stuff. I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, we don't need to do all that. We know you. We love you. Let's not go cuckoo with it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know.
Any other thoughts, anyone? Nothing?
No. This was amazing, Erica. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Again. It was a pleasure.
Lovely stuff.
Thank you. Love you all.
Love you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.